We've been in a series called Overcome, talking about the life of David, and I'm going to be super straight with you. As I was preparing for this message, I spent the first 2 days agonizing, reading through the next. I thought I would find something in like 6 verses. I read 2 chapters, and just nothing, just blank. How many of you ever do that sometimes? Read and go, I don't know. David is just trying, Saul's trying to kill David all the time. That's the point of those two chapters. But there was something, as I read through it and read through it and read through it and went back and went back, there was one thing that jumped out at me. And I said to my friends, listen, if I'm over the line, if you think I'm stretching for a sermon, tell me. So I ran it over a bunch of people, not ran it over, ran it by. And they said, no, that's really cool that you see that. So if you have your Bible, 1 Samuel 19, I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to get into the Word. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus, God, that your presence would remain here, that the Word of God would touch our hearts, and that we would become more like you. Lord, your Word says that it's your Word that renews our mind, and it's your Spirit. So would you do that today, in Jesus' strong name. Amen. I want to talk about your circle of influence. How many of you know everyone has a circle of influence? Everyone. You're a leader to somebody, even if you think you're the lowest person on the totem pole. There is an influence that you have around your life, and there are people that you're influencing, and there are people that are influencing you, whether you know it or not. And so let's look at this verse, 1 Samuel 19, verse 11. Then Saul sent troops to watch David's house. So are you seeing the thing here that Saul's trying to kill David all the time and get to him? It's a theme. They were told to kill David when he came out the next morning, but Michal, now there's many ways people pronounce her name. I'm going to go with mine, okay? Michal, because I don't want to call her Michael, that's weird. But Michal, David's wife, warned him, if you don't escape tonight, you will be dead by morning. So she helped him climb out through a window, and he fled and escaped. Then she took an idol and put it in his bed and covered it with blankets and put a cushion of goat's hair at its head. By the way, I don't know what kind of hair you have, if you're going to fool somebody with goat's hair, but it's kind of scary. With goat's hair on its head, verse 14. When the troops came to arrest David, she told them he was sick and couldn't get out of bed, but Saul sent the troops back to David. He ordered, bring him to me in his bed so I can kill him. But when they came to carry David out, they discovered that it was only an idol in the bed with a cushion of goat's hair at his head. Why have you betrayed me like this and let my enemy escape? Saul demanded. She said, I had to. You know, he threatened me. David threatened to kill me, which was a lie. Now, there's so many things, as I was reading through this, that is woven through these verses that you would just totally miss. Because I did, and I just kept praying and reading through it. And there's something I want you to see here. There was never a strong spiritual bond between David and his wife. If you look all throughout, if you read forward in the story, she was always a pain in the neck. And I'm not saying women are a pain in the neck, because my woman is awesome. I'm saying, though, the one that you choose to spend the rest of your life with either makes or breaks you. And if there's young people in here today and you're not married, or if there's somebody in here that you want to be married, choose wisely the person that you decide that you're going to walk with and is going to walk with you through your life. Because that person can make or break you. If you look at his life, there's two things that his wife did. And what I was reading through the scripture, one, she talked David into relying on the flesh. Instead of encouraging him in his calling, she's basically like, dude, you're going to be dead tomorrow if you don't deal with this. Now, how many know that he was the anointed king of Israel? Not yet the king, though. How many know that God is in charge of everything? So he would not be dead tomorrow morning. Why? Because the Lord in heaven had prophesied over him that he was going to be the king of Israel. His wife did not have faith. Let's just say that. Or she would have encouraged him and said, David, why are you stressing and freaking out over your enemies? You're not going to die. The Lord has said that you're going to be the king of Israel. So, man, go to bed and relax. Instead, she talked David into relying on his flesh. Get out the window, escape from here, run away. Now, there are some times running away is good. Amen. There are some times that you need to be wise and say, man, I need to get out of here. She should have encouraged him. Instead, she talked him, and then she lied about it and said that David said that he would kill her. The second thing is this. She mocked him in his spiritual pursuit and his love for God. If you watch his life, she was constantly mocking him. Read. Just read through and you'll find it. She mocked his passion for God and mocked his pursuit of God. And by the way, what is she doing? The man after God's own heart. What is she doing with a giant idol in the house? I bumped right through it and thought, Lord, I don't want to talk about that. The Lord said, let's talk about that. She brought into their home a thing that was foreign to who the living God is. She brought in what Psalm says, what David said about idols. Isn't it funny that if you read Psalms, David's constantly saying idols are stupid. They have ears, can't hear, eyes but can't see, and a mouth but can't speak, hands but can't touch and change people's lives. Maybe because his wife was so into that stuff and he saw in her throughout his life, like, wow, you become just like one of those idols if you follow the idols. And all of you say, well, thank God we don't have idols today in America. How many of you know just because it's not a fat and chubby statue in your house, it's still, there are still things in our life and in our world that can become an idol in our lives. And so she was obviously doing things that were contrary to what David was all about. Now, hold on to that point for a second. Just keep it in the back of your mind, okay? Because we're going to get into this in just a second. If your spouse is at a one in pursuing God and a heart for God, and you are at an eight, or vice versa, there's going to be conflict in your house. How many know that to be true? Well, some guys are okay. Hey, we can watch that. We can do this. And the other one is pursuing the Lord is constantly feeling the ugh of what's going on in the house. There's something about unity in a marriage and unity even in friendships. You have to be careful. If there's young people here today, I want to say this to you 1,000 times today. You have to be careful about who you decide to run with. My dad used to say it all the time, son, if you lay down with dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas, bud. And I thought that was the dumbest thing he ever said to me until I started hanging out with dogs and waking up with fleas. I started getting around. I was a freshman in high school. I was a good kid, short-haired little guy. Did pretty good in school. Played basketball. Ran into a guy that was this tall and his hair was that tall. He was super long hair. Hey, man, I hear you're a drummer. Yeah. Hey, I want you to play in our band. There's me and these two 20-year-olds are starting a band. I said, oh, yeah, okay. I told them, now, you know, I'm a lukewarm Christian, so I won't play any music that's evil, and I won't party, and I won't do all those things. How many know within 4 to 5 months I was partying, and my hair was, not that long hair is bad, actually. If I could still have long hair, I would. I just want you to know that it's the fantasy of my life to look like the, I can't believe it's not Butter Guy. I want to look like that dude. I just want to be a hippie again. It's fun. Harvard did a study, and this is amazing. They did a big study of the most successful people in America, businessmen, and they found one common thread throughout all of them, and it was this. They do not allow critical or negative people in their circle. They fire them. They don't allow critical and negative people into their circle because, watch this, who you partner with will start to sway and move you into ways that maybe you shouldn't go, even as a business. And I want to read you a verse. You all know this. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 says this. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. How come it doesn't say good company ruins bad morals? Because here's why. It's funny that I have many, many times, especially as a youth pastor, 18 years of youth ministry dealing with kids, and I would always have that girl, that guy that was bringing that person to youth group because they liked them, they wanted to date them, and they were missionary dating. You know what I'm talking about? They were like, oh, he's so cute, and he's so great, and I'm going to win him to Jesus. And I was like, no, you're not. He's actually going to probably drag you down, I would say to them. And then a couple months would go by, and I'd realize I hadn't seen that girl in youth group for a while. And then I'd see her somewhere in the mall, and she didn't look the same. And she's with this guy, Beavis. And they were, and his, watch this, his bad morals actually corrupted her. Huh, you mean the Bible's real? You mean it's a true statement? Now, there are those rare things. I had a good friend who was in college, and he saw this beautiful girl from across the cafeteria, so romantic, and he said, man, I want to marry that girl. He didn't even know her. And so he dated her, and she got saved, and they now have a huge ministry in Africa. It's a powerful story. That is the rarest of the rarest. This guy was a super strong Christian, so he could deal with the stuff that was coming at him. So I would say missionary dating, 9.5 times out of 10, doesn't work. And if you're running with people that have morals, and I don't mean loving, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I don't mean loving on. I'm talking about running with. If you literally are going to surround yourself in your inner circle with people who are morally against the word of God, you will find yourself struggling more than ever before because they're bringing, if you will, idols into the relationship. And there's something I know about God in Scripture. Remember the big idol in the Old Testament? They brought the Ark of the Covenant in, and they came in, and the big idol was on its face. And they thought, oh, our idol fell over. So they picked it up and set it back up, and then they came in the next morning, and the idol was on its face because the Lord's like, I don't do idols. I'm the true living God. I don't mess around with fake stuff like that. Amen? All right. Proverbs 13:20 says this. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. Who wants to be wise? All right. Should have been more hands. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. This scripture is so amazing to me. If you walk with the wise, you'll be wise. If you are a companion of fools, you suffer harm. How many times have we heard about the kid that was, a pretty good kid, got into the car with the kids who were drinking, the car gets crashed, and the good kid dies, and they walk away with no issues. That's because that's just the way it works. The friend of the fool suffers the harm. And some of you, we're going to talk a little bit about today about business, and you might not agree with 100% what I'm going to say, but I want you to catch the message today that we cannot have our lives yoked up with people that are completely going in a different direction than we are. It creates havoc in our world. And how many of you have ever had the Christian guy pull up? Let's say he's a plumber. He pulls up in his truck, and you see the Christian fish on the back, and you actually get nervous. How many of you have ever had bad business dealings with people that are Christians? Only three. Oh, man. So where I lived, there was these guys in our town where I lived. They were Christians. You didn't want to do business with them because they just weren't living by the word of God. The fish was on the back of their truck, but it wasn't in their heart. You know what I'm saying? 2 Corinthians 6:14. Great verse. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with the devil? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Listen to this. This is killer. I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That verse sounds like, let's go buy some property and put a barbed wire fence around it and have a gun tower and never talk to anybody. There are people that take that verse way, 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 way out of context to where they say, oh, I can't even be around the world. I can't go to the mall. That is not what Paul was saying. Paul was saying this. What is the topic of this verse? Of this chunk of scripture, what is the topic? The topic is being yoked together. So what is yoked? We've talked about it before. Yoke is the thing that they put on the cows so that they can pull the wagon, right? Or pull the plow. So if there's two cows in there, or whatever they're called, bulls, whatever you want to say, and they yoke them together, they move together. Literally, one can't go, I'm going to go right, and the other one says, I'm going to go left. They go in the same direction. That's the topic that Paul's talking about. He's talking about, don't yoke yourself up with unbelievers. Why? Because you will never fulfill what God has for you if you live that kind of lifestyle. I've seen so many women in 30 years of ministry marry the wrong man. Because they thought they were getting too old and this guy was perfect. And man, the next thing you know, they're not in church anymore. You don't see them around anymore. And you see them out on the streets. You go, hey man, haven't seen you for a while. She goes, yeah, my husband doesn't really like church. Oh, So how's your walk with the Lord? Well, why? Because she yoked herself up with someone who was driving the cart, if you will, and took down a road that she wasn't willing to go down, but because they're yoked together. The topic is being yoked together with unbelievers. That is it. And Paul says, what fellowship? By the way, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. What fellowship does light have with darkness? How many know light always overcomes darkness? It can't be there. So when you yoke up with somebody who is full of ideas that are not of God, and they're full of the world, and you become yoked with them, they start pulling you into directions that you don't want to go. Just like David's wife, who obviously worshiped things she should not have worshiped. And if you look at his life, and by the way, we're going to talk about this later on, you will see where the decision to marry her, absolutely his whole life created havoc. Because her heart wasn't after God and his was. His heart was after the Lord. Now I want you to see something that's really cool. How about think about this in these terms? Marriage. By the way, if you're married to an unbeliever right now, someone who doesn't want to love Jesus and serve the Lord, don't go home and divorce them. Pastor Rick says, I can't be married to you. I'm out. There's some scripture in the New Testament you should read before you do that. Paul says, look, if you've married somebody that's an unbeliever, man, here's how to walk it out. Here's how to love them. Here's how to bring them to Jesus. But if you're not married and you want to be married, you think real hard about who the person is that you're going to marry. I've seen pastors marry somebody and literally their ministry gets diminished because of the person they married. You don't want to marry a project. You want to marry a promise. Because all of us have stuff in our life that we need help with, but when that person's the promised one that God has given you, there's so much grace to deal with all that stuff and you can grow. But if you're just out saying, I'm going to marry whoever because, man, I'm desperate, you will marry a project. And you, greatest thing, this girl that was, I didn't date in high school. I got saved right after my freshman year. And I was like single to the jingle, bachelor to the rapture. That was my thing. I was just going to be that guy. I was going to go like out and serve the Lord in Russia and smuggle Bibles because back then it was illegal. And I was like, yeah, man, preparing for this. And I was like, no women. No girl. There was about 8 of us that sat in the front row at the church that had long hair, and we were all part of the Bachelor to the Rapture Club, all of us. We were like, we're not getting married, we're serving the Lord with all of our hearts. And then this girl in youth group, I think I was just graduating high school, and she was really nice, and she was cool, and she was pretty, and she liked me, and I liked her, yay, 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 yay. And I brought her home to meet mom and dad, and she left, and my dad rarely said anything to me in this regard. He said, son, he looked at me with that intense look and said, if you marry that girl, you will have problems for the rest of your life. And I was like, wow, my dad's been around the block a lot. Like, he was old. He was probably 45 at that point. You know what I mean? I'm older than that now, but I thought, dude was ancient, probably was Noah's Ark, probably wrote on it. I mean, he was. And he said, don't marry that girl. So, you know, that was over. And a couple years later, didn't date for till I was 21. Well, 20. This girl walked into youth group. Actually, it was not youth group. It was a college group that I was attending, and I was in the front row, and she walked in, and I've told the story before to you. Yeah? She walked in, and I turned around and saw her. And I didn't look at girls. I wasn't that guy like, oh, Lord, let her be the one. Amen, Jesus. Lord, you made her, and it was good. You did a good job. I wasn't, man. I was still a front row guy, right? I wanted to be right up front, right where the spout was, where the glory came out. That's what I used to tell my friends. Still, guess what? Still 5 of us in the Bachelor to the Rapture Club. Still, the same 5. The other 3, losers. They left. They got married. Sitting in the front row, and the worship band is playing loudly, and I heard the door. I don't know how I heard the door creak open in the room, and I turned. There's 150 people. I turned around and looked, and this woman walked in. And I literally went, yes, Lord, I hear you. I said, she's beautiful, man. She looks like she's been raised by nuns. I mean, she's so pure and innocent, which later found out she was a crackhead before she got saved. No joke. Cindy was into meth and, like, not a good life. Isn't that amazing what Jesus does? And she walks in, and there was two seats behind us. And I was like, all right. She comes in, she sits down right behind me, and her best friend sat down beside her. And I said, Lord, how come it is you start speaking King James whenever you want to talk God into stuff? Right? You do. You're like, lo, Lord, you have been with me all of thine years. And I ask for thee, O Lord. Thank you for this creation behind me, O God. It is good. And I said, well, Lord, I've tried to just hang with you, and I don't care if she's pretty. I mean, that's nice, but if she doesn't love you, I'm not even going there. And so I said, how am I going to see if she loves you? How am I going to know? So worship was still going on. I thought, people that love Jesus worship Jesus. So I said, well, how am I going to look, right? That's going to be a little awkward. Just turn around, look at her, hey, you know. So I did the charismatic spin. You know, that's, you know, I've never done it in my life, but I did it this night. I did I think it was the two-step, like this, and you do this, and I just turned around, and then when I came back around, and when I turned around, she's standing here, and I turn around, I'm like, what's up, girl? And she was worshiping the Lord, and I was like, oh, amen, Jesus. And the Lord literally, I'd heard other guys say this before, and I thought they were weird. The Lord literally spoke to me with glee. If you've never heard the Lord's voice in your heart, I'm not talking about audibly. I heard the attitude of the Lord, if you will. There was joy. It was like, there she is. And I went like, what? Yeah. And then the guy was up to him doing the announcements. He was like, we're going to have a brownie sale. And I was like, yes, Lord. You know, and there was like, Rick's excited about the brownie sale. So I did not walk up to her afterwards and say, beautiful woman of God, I am thine husband, you are mine. I did not do that. I mean, I'd freak her out a little bit. So I stalked her. For like 3 months, I just kind of watched how she treated people. I watched how, because every guy was after her in the group. Every guy, big buff guys, nice hair, drove Porsches. Me, skinny, weird hair. I drove a 1972 Mercury Zephyr. It looked like an FBI car. And everyone turned her down. Everyone turned her down. I mean, she would go to everybody and say, hey, you want to go on a date? And I'd just watch. Guy'd go over to her. Hey, you want to go out with me? And she'd be like, no. And I was like, yeah, that's right. And I wanted to walk over to him later and go, dude, you're messing with my wife. Get on down the road. And then we became friends, and she started hanging out with this Christian band I was in. And then, it's a short story, I went on one date with her, and I told her on the first date, I'm not interested in dating. I'm not interested in any of that stuff. You need to go ask Jesus if I'm the man you're supposed to marry, because I'm not wasting my time with a bunch of dating. We were in my dad's 1964 and a half fastback Mustang at Shasta Dam, all romantic. And here's what I said to her. Hey, so listen, I haven't dated in forever. So I just want you to know that I'm not messing around with dating and like doing all that stuff. So you need to go ask Jesus if I'm the man that you're supposed to marry. Because we can be friends and we can hang out and that's cool. But I'm not wasting like emotional energy and time. You would have thought she went, oh, you're weird. She goes like this. Well, I'll go pray about it. I was like, whoa. She went home, prayed about it, called me 4 or 5 days later and said, let's date. And I literally was like, guess what my dad said about her when I brought her home the first time? She left. My dad, so this is 3 years later, says, that's the girl that you ought to marry. My dad. And I was like, he's old. He's been around the block a lot. I'm in. See, when you choose the person you're going to yoke yourself up with, even in business, even in friendship, even in your marriage, those people can make or break you. You want somebody in the yoke with you that's pulling towards Jesus and going in the same direction. Or you will have, because we have, Hollywood has made marriage this fantasy. Has it not? Who wakes up in the morning, like in the movies, and rolls over and kisses the person you're married to on the lips? No one that's married does that, but they make it so, like, their makeup is all perfect. It's like the breath smells like mint. No, that's not true. You wake up in the morning, go, whoa, go take a shower. Take a shower. I want to end with this because it's so important. Paul's not saying don't talk to, don't love on unbelievers. It's not what he's saying. He's saying watch out who you yoke up with, because who you yoke up with determines a lot about your momentum and where you're going. Matthew 11:28 says this, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, you, and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's Jesus. Paul talked about don't be unequally yoked, and Jesus is talking about a yoke, and he's saying, let me be the one you're yoked up with. Why? Because his yoke is easy. I wrote this down. I said, his yoke is good, helpful, kind, and profitable. I don't want to be in the yoke with somebody that's going to be pulling all the time in a different direction, and my life starts to go, ooh. I want to be with somebody, and even friends. I'm careful, very careful, about who's in my inner circle, who I run with, who speaks into my life, and who doesn't speak into my life. I'm very careful about who is in my inner circle, because the direction that I'm going, the place where I want to go in Jesus, is intense, and I need people that will push me in that direction and not pull me the other way. So be very careful about who you let into your world. Let's close with this thought. Listen to what he says. Paul says this, God has said, I will dwell with them, walk among them, I'll be their God. Watch this. Do you know why the Lord doesn't want you to yoke up with people that will not pull in the direction of heaven? Because his heart is to dwell with you, to walk with you, and to be in your home. His desire is to be so close to you and you so close to him that your home is filled with his presence, that your business is filled with his presence. And the Lord doesn't share with idols. He doesn't. And I'm not a demon behind every bush guy. I'm not one of those guys. But I'm telling you, I've been in homes where marriages are falling apart, and you know why as soon as you start to talk with them. Because this guy's into porn, and he's going in this direction. He's a Christian. He says he loves the Lord, and he's going down this road, and she's trying to go straight and follow Jesus. And man, there's all this turmoil. You have to make a decision with your spouse. Are we going to get in the Jesus yoke and walk together, or are we going to do our own thing? Because here's the heart of God. The heart of God is, I want to be close to you. I want to walk with you. Isn't that a cool verse? I want to dwell among you. I want my presence in your life and in your home and everywhere you are. And I've told you the story 1,000 times, so this will be 1,001. Because it's the best picture I know how to explain this. Does God love everybody? Yes. Is God close to everybody? No. Say, well, yeah, he is. He's good with everybody. No. My friend told you this story before. He took his 2 or 3-year-old daughter to a ranch. She'd never been to a ranch. She went running around in the pasture while he was talking to somebody. She comes screaming up the road, crying. And my buddy's looking. She's covered in mud. I mean, head to toe. And he as he gets closer to her and she gets closer to him, the smell is not mud. And she just wants to be picked up and held. And he's got her by the head, pushing her around and dancing with her like this. Why? Because he's got clean clothes on. He doesn't want crud all over him. So what does he do? He grabs a hose and washes her off, and then he hugs her. There's something about when we willfully live in sinful things and we willfully allow idols, if you will, into our life. Does the Lord love us any less? Nope. But there is a difference of intimacy. It's not about love. God loves us perfectly. It's about closeness. It's about intimacy. When God destroyed the world with a flood, did he love everybody? Yes. Who was he close to? Noah. Why? Because Noah walked with God. God liked everybody, and he drowned them and said, we're done. I'm not doing this anymore. You're way out there in left field. Here's the cool story. Now Jesus died on a cross, and his blood drowns our sin so that we can have closeness and nearness to the Father again. So that you, if you are in sin, you can repent, and his blood cleanses you, and you're dead to that, and now you can have closeness and nearness to the Father. Amen? Amen. That's what it's all about. That's why the Lord's like, don't do it, because I have a plan for you, and I want to be near you. Let's pray. With all eyes closed and just every head bowed, would you just think for a moment about what's going on in your life? Are there people you're yoked up with you shouldn't be yoked up with? Are there things going on that you should say, I need to let go of this, because the Father has so much more for me. Jesus has so much more for my life, and this is kind of in the way. Just think that through for a minute, and my eyes are going to move through this audience, and if you have never given your heart to Jesus before, like I said, he died on a cross so you could be forgiven and you could be set free. And I'm going to move through this audience starting at your right, far right of this room. My eyes are going to move through here. If you say, man, I need Jesus, or I need to come home, would you just raise your hand up? My eyes are moving through right now. I'm starting on the far right of this building, coming through this audience. Right here in the middle section, I'm just coming through. Far left, right here in the middle. Yeah. Far, far left over here. You say, I need Jesus in my life. Good. Would you just sit for a moment now and just ask the Lord for grace to be free from yokes that aren't of him? Father, we come to you this morning, and I pray that, Lord, we would be wise in the way that we walk and the people we choose to partner with and the people that we choose to be in our circle of influence, God. And Father, forgive us where we've made mistakes and we've done things we shouldn't have done and we've let people in we shouldn't have let in. Lord, have mercy. And Jesus, we choose today to stick our neck in your yoke, Lord, to walk with you and to move with you. Lord, thank you that you're good and merciful and forgiving and kind. Lord, help us in our pursuit of you. We love you so much in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Well, next week, let me just say this. You do not want to miss next Sunday. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm going to leave you with that sense of, ooh, what's going to happen? Everyone's getting a free car that comes to church. No, I'm kidding. Don't miss next Sunday. God bless you guys. Have a great week.